Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 9. And this will be the number 38 in our series of the benefits of the Son of God. And this morning I wish to speak on this 38th benefit, or promise of God to us concerning His Son, and that is that you will live a life of holiness, one that is sanctified through His name and through His atoning blood. Now, I'm calling this, "For without holiness no man shall understand his parousia." And the reason that I chose this topic is because there are many who claim to believe that He's here, but their life shows that they don't believe. And Brother Bram said, "Our life speaks louder than in heaven than our words do." And it's very apparent that when we look out among those who would believe the presence, and we see lives that are not dedicated, not living for Christ, but actually, as Brother Vail said, they watch more videos in 2 months than he's watched in a lifetime, then it's very apparent that it's becoming just a form to people. And that the actual fear and reverence of our Lord and Savior being in our midst is not felt in the hearts of everyone. Maybe felt by some, but not certainly by most. And the fact that there is just wrong living going on amongst people. And I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm not saying people here or there. I'm just saying that it's very apparent when you look out and recognize. And I believe that Brother Branham spoke every sermon about holiness and living a consecrated life because it's essential. No man can see God. How if you can't see Him, how are you going to be like Him? You see, if you got His Holy Spirit, then you've got to have a holy life to reflect that Holy Spirit. And so we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and reading from verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And we know that the word righteous means to be rightly wise. "Therefore those that are not rightly wise shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we reverently and humbly approach Thy word today, knowing that, Father, when we speak on holiness and we speak on these things which Your prophet just lashed out against time and time again, he said, "I'd go to California and I'd preach it hard and I'd come back the next year and they'd be worse off than they were the year before." And Father, we see the same thing amongst the those that claim the message everywhere, Father. There's just not a commitment like there was at one time. I can go back to the 70s and recognize when people were truly repenting and truly living a life that was dedicated every day. And Lord, I see amongst us today the fruits are not there of a consecrated life. And so we ask, Father, that You would help us, Lord, knowing that our consecration is not just come from a discipline in our own life, but it comes from walking in the light as You are in the light, knowing that if we walk in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so, Father, we pray that Your Spirit would take a hold of every fiber of our body and that it would take a hold of our ears this morning and open up that channel between the ear and into the soul, that these words might bring forth a holy people. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, notice that the Apostle Paul is telling us that there are restrictions to inheriting the kingdom of God, and a life of holiness is even required. It's essential to enter therein. Now, teaching on holiness will not make a person popular. And any time God calls a man, if that man speaks only what God has him to say, he will become a target for the devil. "From the message, be certain of God," Brother Branham said, "and when they walk disorderly according to His commandments, He placed judgment upon them. And He knew that Jehovah was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, He would not give in. Oh, Jezebel hated him, and all of her company hated him. But God loved him and respected him because he never let down on the word of God. He stayed with it. God, give us more Elijahs in this cruel, evil day of corruption that we're living in. That's not scared to preach what's the truth, what the Bible says. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You must be cleansed from your sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to also know that we are not only sanctified by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, but as Paul also says here, we are sanctified by the Spirit of our God. Now, why would he say that? Well, the word sanctified comes from the same Greek word, hagiazo, which comes from the root word hagios, that the word holy was translated from. Now, notice he said, be ye washed and be you sanctified by the Spirit of our God. That is because our God is a holy spirit. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 16, we read, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, this state of holiness is not something that we can do for ourselves, but was purchased for us by the shedding of the blood of the Son of God. You see, God himself, the Holy Spirit, had indwelt his Son. But when the Son of God died on the cross, the Spirit that indwelt him was released back upon the church. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 10 we read, by the which we are sanctified through the offering. And that word sanctified means that we are made holy. So by the which we are made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. If you turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12 we read, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his blood, he suffered without the gate. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 14 we read, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now you could not have the Holy Spirit living in you and then live an unholy life. In 1 John chapter 3, and reading from verse 7 through 10, we read, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So if you're not doing righteousness, you are not a righteous person. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. But whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He does not initiate sin. For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You notice how he ties in holiness again with love, as we talked about last night. Also in 1 John chapter 5, and we'll read verses 4 to 5. For whosoever, or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you don't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God, how can you believe, how can you overcome the world? And in verse 18 he says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So what is it that keeps us clean? It's a Holy Spirit living in you, living itself out through you. The very nature of God is holy, and thus God has called us to be a holy people, a peculiar nation. In Romans 1 and verse 4, Paul says, and he declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. If we are declared to be sons of God, where's the power? If we can't even live our own lives in a cleansed way, how are we going to have an effect on others? He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we have been predestinated to this holy state, as we see in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in his presence in love. Notice again, holy and love. You see, in Jude chapter 1 and verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, that's the Holy Spirit, and preserved in Jesus Christ. There it is. The blood has kept us. Now, we spoke last night on the subject of the falling away, which Brother Branham said has come to this church age in this last days. To do several, and he says it's due to several reasons, of which one of the greatest reasons is Hollywood and television that has taken over the minds of the people. Now, if Hollywood and television and the cares of this life will pollute a person's soul, What about the effect of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? What will that have on that person? Like Brother Branham said, if the man that could lift up several policemen out there in, I think it was in Spokane, Washington, the man was possessed of a devil, and if he has super strength because he's possessed of a devil, what about a person that's possessed by God? You see? I'm just going to have to shut that off because we're getting interference back. Now, if Hollywood and television and the cares of this life will pollute a person's soul, what about the effect that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will have on a person if they just yield themselves to the power of the Word? As you read last night, a young man cleanses his way by taking heed thereto according to the Word. And we also find in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So we see that the Word of God is the power of God and brings a cleansing effect upon our daily lives, because God will not come into a vessel that is not holy. And as we spoke last night from Romans 12, God calls us to surrender our bodies over to Him to become a living sacrifice, one that is holy and acceptable to Him. Notice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We find also over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, or verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So how can we go around saying that we love God when we don't love the, when we love the world? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? In verse 19, or verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, if we claim that we want to go in a rapture, the only way you're going to go is that the Holy Ghost is in you. And if it's not the Holy Ghost, it's the unholy ghost that's got that's control of your life. Jesus, in praying to his Father, said in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So we see the Word of God is a sanctifier. It sanctifies and it makes holy. In this prayer to his Father, Jesus asked that we all might be one, even as he and the Father were one. And we found that Brother Branham said that the way that Jesus and his Father were one is that the Word of God was living in him. From harvest time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work that way. One denomination wants to take over the other, and one man over the other. But that you might be one with God, like Christ was one. That's what our prayer is. That, and he was the Word, and Jesus prayed that he might be the Word reflecting in him. That's his prayer to be answered. See? You see how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all. That we might all congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time that they do it, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. So you see, if the Word of God is not one in your soul, there's something wrong. You're not ready for a rapture. I believe we're well overdue for a rapture, but it's just the condition of the people that's holding it back. That is why the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, for he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, if he that is sanctified, that was the Son of God, because he said the Father sanctified him and sent him into the world. And the one who does the sanctifying is God. And notice, they were one and God raised him up in a rapture. Then what about you and I who claim to be sons of God? Well, if the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus be in you, it'll not only sanctify your life, but it'll get you so in one with God that you're going to go with him when he leaves. And we are one because the same Word lives itself out in both the Father and in his Son and in sons. Therefore, when we receive the Word of God, and remember Jesus told us that his words were spirit and truth, so when we see the truth come into a person, it changes the person. You can't sit and listen to truth and not have an effect upon your soul. If you don't have an effect upon your soul, then it's just an intellectual understanding that you've got. So when we see the truth come into a person, it changes the person. The very life that is in the Word breaks open like a seed, and it begins to manifest the life that was in that seed. And so if the Word of God has truly come into us, if God's life is not evident by your life, then you haven't been born again. I don't care who you've been sitting under. I don't care if you sat directly under William Branham, prophet of God. You're not born again unless the life of Christ is living itself in you. From the way of a true prophet, Brother Branham said, God's holy, and they that live by Him must live holy. He is a holy God. And the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's true. His life is holy, and if His life is in you, it makes you holy. Without it, you don't see the Lord. So how can we be talking about His parousia, His presence, He's here, when the Bible says we'll see Him face to face? Well, I doubt many people talking about the parousia have seen Him face to face, because their lives are evident. In the days of Noah, wherein 8 souls were saved, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. People can talk all they want to, and yet living carnal lives, it shows they haven't got a clue of a holy God in the midst of the people. You walk into a courtroom sometime. John, you know what I'm talking about. You walk into a courtroom sometime and you speak one word out of line, and that judge will have you thrown out for contempt of court. And yet how many words daily are spoken by those who claim to believe that He's here, and they're out of line. Women talking against husbands. Husbands, you know, fighting with wives. Children talking back to parents. And you believe that He's here? I don't think you do. I think the message is just a church thing to everybody. Well, God sent a prophet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know what? Perry Green mentioned at Sister Vale's burial that there was 2 million people following the message today. You know, that's exactly how many people left Egypt. So Alpha has become Omega. And you know what Jesus said? They're everyone dead. That means eternally separated. I don't care if you believe the message. I don't care if you claim to believe the message. I don't care if you believe that William Branham was a prophet of God. If you don't have the Holy Ghost living a holy life in you, you're just a liar. And your life is just full of lies. It's hypocrisy. The Father placed His own Spirit, His Holy Spirit, into His Son for a kind of first fruits to the world to show the kind of life that can be lived if a man would only yield himself to the Spirit of God by the Word of God. In Romans 11 verse 16, He said, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump also is holy. Well, that's what we are. We're a bunch of lumps. But we're supposed to be holy lumps. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And Jesus Christ is the root and offspring. And in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. You might claim that you're His all you want, but the Lord knows those that are His. And those that are His are going to come into His image. And what is He? He's the Holy Spirit. A Holy Spirit, a Holy God. He's come for a holy people. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in His great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. That's in His house. That's in the church of God, not the denomination. I'm talking about the church of the living God. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You see, holiness is not something that you do. It is something that expresses itself in you and through you, for it is the Holy Spirit working in you to will and to do His good pleasure. It's not even your will, it's His will that you're surrendered to. Paul said the Holy Ghost was to work into us God's will. His will to do. It wasn't so from the beginning. Brother Bram said, you believe in sanctification. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now you cannot be holy. I'm not depending on my holiness. I have none. But I'm depending on His holiness. It's His holiness that I'm looking for. Or that I'm looking at. Not what I was, but what He is. That's it. Go back to the beginning. There it is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Be ye holy, as I am holy. And the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" And the word godliness is godlikeness. And the word conversation doesn't mean just in your talk. A lot of people talk, 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 talk. But where's the life? Where's the conversation? Where is the holy people? People going out and having drinks socially in this message. First Peter 1 and verse 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." From reaction to an action, Brother Branham said, "But when we are born again, we are of heaven and of God, and we're citizens of the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit that dwells there, that comes into you, will make you act and look and think as it does in the nation where we're going to, where we're going." Sure, idolatry is taken over. All the preachers under the great heavy load, and the prophet said they give away because the people demanded it. The people demanded it, and the ministry gave away to it. And that's the way it is today. Many good preachers bend under the load because the congregation calls for it. They'll walk right out of this church, many times a great denomination. If they caught one of their ministers preaching against some, such as smoking and so forth like that, they'd excommunicate him. And the ministers has to bend under that load. But there was one in that day that didn't bend under that load, and they hated him. But he's setting up upon a mountain, and God told him to go there, and he'd feed him with the crows and give him water to drink. But he wouldn't bow down to their modern trend. He still believed that God was the same holy God that made heavens and earth. And I'm so glad that he's still got some today that believe the same thing. No matter what the world says, they still won't bow to the modern trend of modern religion. No social gospel for them, men. They believe God's still holy. They believe he requires holiness, and he requires the new birth, and he requires a separation from sin. Oh, I know she hated him, but God loved him. Is that a picture of you and I? Do we take a stand against sin, or do we kind of just cave in, go along with it? Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still." And that's what's going to happen when the rapture takes place. "He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that's righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." There's coming a time when you will stop and you will manifest, and you are either holy or unholy, righteous or unrighteous. And that's the Word of God that does that. When the light strikes the seed, when the revelation of Jesus Christ strikes what you are, you'll either come against it, or you'll surrender your life to it. In Jude 1 and verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." So we've got a holy faith. Not just an intellectual faith. "Well, we believe it proves you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, and live just any old life." You know, shows how many unbelievers have followed this message through the years. Billy Paul said after 1977, three-fourths of the mail dropped off. Three-fourths of the mail dropped off. I remember those days before 77. I remember the early 70s in this message. People walked holy. They talked holy. They were consecrated. They were committed. Maybe they didn't have the understanding we have today, but they were definitely committed to the understanding that they do have. From perfect strength is perfect weakness. Brother Bram said, "Do you know God can't change?" He can't change. And he has one nature, and that's holiness, and he can't change. And if you don't become like him, you will not see him. "Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord." Well, let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 6. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither has known him." How are you going to know a holy God if you're unholy? You can't even comprehend what he is. And 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He's given us an understanding to know God and to know that this God is in his Son. And he's a holy God. But if we can't even understand that God has given us his Son and that it was his Son that died for us, that he was totally obedient to the Father, how can we ever understand what God is all about? Jesus said, no man hath seen God, but the only begotten hath declared him. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Why do you think God cleaned up William Branham before he actually allowed him to preach his word? Before he brought his message to him so that he could give it to us? Why do you think God just... God just cleaned him up. How did God clean him up? He beat the living snot out of him. That's what he did. And I think people in this message need the living snot beat out of them until they get right with God. They get to the altar. First Corinthians 13 verse 12. For now we see him through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I'm known. Then face to face. Let me ask the question. You believe he's here? What do you see? Do you see a holy God? Or do you see a God that just lets any kind of life go? A God of love. A God of peace. Or do you see that the judge is here? You back talk that judge, he's going to throw you in jail. Contempt of court. And yet how many people come to the message churches today in contempt of court? Living just any old life. That's why Brother Brown said we should wear our best when we come to church. You're not wearing it to show off your clothes to other people. You're wearing it because you're coming into the presence of the King. If you got clothes that you would wear if George Bush walked in this church or walked into your house, you get all dressed up and everything else, you ought to be wearing the same clothes, better clothes, when you come into the King, into his presence. This is God's house. It should be kept holy. In Romans 8 and verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, did Jesus live a holy life? Isn't that what he's known for? Never sinned? Aren't we to be conformed to his image? Then what's with all the televisions? What image are you conformed to if you're watching TV, if you're watching a bunch of movies and videos and you're being conformed to the image of Hollywood, Satan's playground? And if our change, our transformation comes how? How does it come, Adam? By the renewing of the mind. So if your mind is being renewed, what's it being renewed to? Hollywood? Or holiness? Not holiness. Holiness. From As I Thought on My Way, Brother Remsen, how can we rest in God when the world is covered with sin and church members are living in sin? How can we hold our peace when the church is torn to pieces by creeds and denominations and brotherhood is separated and the people are becoming weary when God requires holiness or no man shall see the Lord? I'll never forget one of the first conventions Brother Vail held, and it was on the Perugia. Not one of the first he held, but when he began to preach on the presence of Christ. And one of the brothers made belt buckles belt buckle, big old belt buckle, and said, Perugia. And I thought, my goodness, they haven't even got a clue as to what's going on. Well, let's make a denomination. Let's make an ism. Let's make a thing out of this. When instead we should have been on our faces before God, knowing that God is here in the midst of His people. The one thing people could say when Brother Branham walked into a congregation of people, they said there was a holy presence that came with him. Even my wife, when she was, 10, 12 years old, in those meetings, that's the one thing she could remember most. There was a holy awe, a holy reverent presence. And Brother Vail said that's the way it was all the time. Why? Because he created an atmosphere. He lived in expectation. He was aware of a holy God. And thus he lived his life commensurate with that revelation. Are we aware that God is holy? And that he requires holiness. From the seal of God, Brother Ram said, I believe in holiness. You must be holy. For without holiness, no man shall see God. Not my holiness, but his holiness. And nothing I can do about it. It's what he's done for me. Don't stand in my own, because I have none. Don't ever try to have any. I try to be, I don't even try to be. Are you trying to hold on, Brother Branham? No, sir. I just turn loose and let him hold on. That's right. He's the one that's holding on. Just stay dead. That's all you have to do. Just keep yourself dead, and he will hold on. He's already held on. He held there till he said, it is finished. And that settled it. When you have a spat with someone in public or even with your family, why do you have the spat? Because you're not dead. Dead horses don't kick, do they? They don't kick back. You can kick on a dead horse all you want. It don't do nothing back. Jesus said, when they slap you on the cheek, give them the other cheek. Why? Because you're dead. And your life is hid in God through Christ Jesus. That's holiness. That's complete surrender. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You realize we were ordained before the foundations of the world to be holy in his presence? Where is the holiness in the message today? Huh? There used to be denominations that professed holiness. You look at the UPC today, you don't find holiness there. Slit skirts all the way up to their whatevers. All the denominations that professed holiness at one time, Church of God of Prophecy. Now it's just a bunch of music, good times. Let the rock and roll fly. Where is holiness gone? I'll tell you what. The media has conquered the people. And the holiness has taken over the holiness. Yeah, why is it called Hollywood? Because it's not Hollywood. They added something. And they that add to should have their the plagues added to them. In 1 Timothy 2 and 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He said, be angry and sin not. You realize you can be angry and not sin? What is sin? It's unbelief. In other words, you can be angry, righteous indignation. Just don't let cursing come out of your mouth. Control yourself like a holy person when you're angry. Doesn't mean you can't shout. God came down with a shout to stir people up. But make sure that your holiness is greater than your anger. And it controls your anger. Colossians 3 and 12. Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and longsuffering. And in chapter 1 verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death to present your body and holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Judge yourself now that you won't be judged. Ephesians 5 and verse 27. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Are you washed in the water of the Word? Do you have your garment on without spot or wrinkle? Or are you like Miss USA, like Brother Branham said, the Church of the United States, half naked, just with a notice with a newspaper in front of her, media. The only covering she's got is the media. And I'll tell you what, you hold a newspaper up to your body, you're going to be filthy. All that print will come onto your body as well. How about being dressed in the Word, in the holiness of God? Because if we have His Spirit is holy. And finally, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, in whom all the building is fitly joined and framed together, it groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. God inhabits the praises of His people. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Where do we get our joy from? Watching some stupid sex acts on video? Hollywood people that, you know, you say, well, I don't watch sex acts. Well, they kiss, don't they? They hug, they hold, don't they? They're not married people. And even why would you want to watch married people hugging and kissing? You know, it's time we have a cleaning up. It's time we take the videos out and get rid of them. If it's questionable, the Bible says if it's not done of faith, it's sin. If there's any question to it, get rid of it. It's time we clean ourselves up and get ready to go home. This could be the spring. I hope it is. There's many things happening in the world. We might get a new pope here pretty soon. Where is he going to come from? Well, Brother Brown said that when that pope comes out of the United States, that's it. Could it be that we're gone before that's it? Could it be we're gone before Hillary Clinton takes the throne and her husband takes the United Nations? He's gunning for it. He's pressing everything he can for it. They've got the scoop on Kofi Annan. They've got the goods on him. That's how they do it. That's how he's always done it. It's the old what they call Arkansas politics. Get the goods on the guy you're running against and get him to step aside. And Clinton's been very good at it. And when people come and try to do the same thing with him, he's a Teflon man. But all the systems are set up. The world order is set up. We got a pope that's they've taken his voice box out, so he no longer has a voice. He cannot speak. He's got a tracheotomy. He's on his last breath. One of these days, his ticker is going to stop for the last time. Then the man of sin will enter in. Are we ready to go home? Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Now, gracious Father, we ask that you would take us, Lord, and bring us to a new height of consecration. May we live our lives, may they be impeccable, Father, not from a man's viewpoint, but from your word viewpoint. You said, judge ourselves that we won't be judged. Examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith. And Father, we know that your prophet examined himself daily. He was such a character that when he crossed the border, and his son said there was, and he said there was nothing in the trunk. When he drove 100 and some miles and got home, he found out there was something in the trunk. And so we went all the way back to the border and explained it to the officer at the border. Father, help us to have character, Lord, which is reflective of your nature, holy. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Let's all stand and worship him now.
Lord God Almighty, Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy.
One more time.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you Wednesday night.